This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
As you know, for a few weeks, and I'll just put our guest on hold for a moment, for a few weeks we've been spotlighting the Santa of the Week, Santa Claus of the Week, an individual who is a Santa Claus at a mall or at a department store or just about anywhere where children gather, and has been doing an interesting job. Although this week we have Santa Claus. His name is Vernon Dozier. He works as a Santa at the West Brothers Mall in Yucaipa. West Brothers Mall and Outlets in Yucaipa, California. And he also works as a high school football coach and also a high school math teacher. And Mr. Dozier, thank you for being on our program and joining us for our highlighting of Santa Clauses.
Well, I'm very happy to be with you. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Some of your methods, I guess, are unorthodox. Is that right?
I don't know what you're referring to.
I'm referring to an email.
I've had some parents complain.
I'm referring to an email in which a parent wants to have you removed from the mall there in the West Brothers Mall and Outlets in Yucaipa, correct?
That is where I am employed right now, yes, sir.
All right. You're the Santa Claus there, and you have the kids, instead of sitting in your lap, you have them kneeling in front of you, and you do not allow them to meet your gaze. Is that correct?
All right. Well, let me back up for a minute.
No, do I just have the information correct up to this point?
You have the information correct, but I think that there is some explaining that needs to be done. First of all, the children are coming to Santa Claus. They sit in his lap traditionally. They make eye contact traditionally. If Santa Claus existed and had the power that we attribute to him, there's no way that he would allow any child to meet his gaze. No way would he allow a child to sit in his lap.
Well, why?
Because he would have the power of a deity. And all we're doing is teaching the child respect for a deity that can provide so much. Santa Claus provides children with toys and flies around the world and at the speed of sound or faster, it must be the speed of light.
Did you tell them, the kids, that Santa Claus is who Jesus would have become had he not been, quote, greased, end quote?
Hold on there. There's a lot of stuff there. I told them that Santa...
Well, you used the word greased, didn't you?
I told them that Santa is like God because he can get them a lot of stuff. And so you have to kneel before whatever God you believe in. And if Santa is God, then he's probably Jesus. If Jesus hadn't, and yes, I used an unfortunate word. I said greased, and I didn't mean to. I should have said... You know,
crucified?
Well,
he wasn't a member of the mafia. He wasn't greased. He was crucified.
All right, I admit it. I'm not a religious man. I took some liberty with the language, but I think that the larger point here, Phil, is a child comes to me expecting things, and as Santa, I expect respect and allegiance.
Do you think Santa Claus, if he existed, would expect respect and allegiance?
The way that I see him, yes. I don't think it's realistic to have a being with as much power as Santa Claus. The ability to fly around the world at an incredible rate of speed, the ability to travel, to even live, for that matter, at the North Pole, the ability to acquire any and all gifts that a child would want. This is the power that only a god or a god-style deity would have. And so it is my belief that when a child comes to me, Santa Claus, with that kind of power, he doesn't sit in my lap and he doesn't meet my gaze. He averts his gaze from mine, and he kneels.
Well, all right.
Let's face it. Santa Claus, I mean, if you want, he could outfly Superman any day. He gets more things done than any government that I'm aware of.
All of this presuming that he existed, okay? The parents are saying that when they bring their children to you, you are forcing them to their knees?
We asked them to kneel.
Well, there was a little boy. I don't have the name right now. You know the case. Mary Gavin and Sandra Ramirez. Who are they?
They are the people who are my helpers. They play the helpers.
They're the helpers. Did they force a kid to his knees and lock his arms behind him? Did you verbally abuse this kid?
I did not verbally abuse him. I reminded him that he was in the presence of who he was in the presence of. Did he think he was going to have a Christmas without me? And was he that foolhardy that he would stand and stare into the eyes of Santa Claus?
A child looking into the eyes of Santa Claus is foolhardy.
I believe that it is. And I believe that when a child comes to Santa Claus, he kneels, his head bowed, and his eyes cast only at the ground, and only when Santa Claus asks him to lift his gaze, does the child lift his gaze? Now, that's how we do it at the West Brothers Mall, and we've been very successful. We have taught the kids, you know, a great deal of respect for Santa Claus.
And well, to the tune that you got some parents upset with you, I'm going to get our phone number out. We're talking with Vernon Dozier. He's a Santa Claus at the West Brothers Mall and Outlets in Yucaipa, California. A Santa Claus who demands the children kneel in front of him instead of sit in his lap and not meet his gaze. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. When we tell somebody to kneel in front of us and to not meet our gaze, we consider ourselves a god.
Again, I dare you. I dare.
But isn't that what it is?
I dare you to find any god that can do more than Santa Claus. I dare you. I dare you.
Well, if Santa Claus doesn't exist.
No, he does not exist. But in the minds of these children, he exists. And in the minds of these children, he is every bit as much a god as God himself is to me or to you. And you don't just walk right into God's house and go, hey, how you doing? Let me sit in your lap. You kneel, and you avert your gaze from the one, the sanctified one, if you will. And only when the sanctified one asks you, what is it that you wish, are you then allowed to raise your gaze to his. And
well, if you're, you know, if you're not God...
You can find it funny, but I can tell you, Mr. Hendry, we've got a serious First Amendment issue here. A lot of these...
Well, I read that. You think this is a First Amendment issue because the parents don't want their children kneeling in front of Santa Claus and averting his gaze. You say the parents are what? You say...
We think it's a violation of those children's First Amendment rights.
The First Amendment says, and let me just quote...
I can quote it for you, Mr. Hendry. Congress shall make no...
Well, it's no law respecting an establishment of religion.
No law respecting an establishment of religion. These children come to me... And they come to Santa Claus, they will kneel, and they will avert my gaze until I so at such time say that I will let them stare at me. Now, the kids do it willingly. The parents don't want them to do it. This is a violation of their religious freedom. And
this is not a religion, man. This is not...
Ask a kid if it's not a religion. Go ahead. Ask any four-year-old kid out here if it's a religion or not.
I bet you the kid wouldn't say it was a religion. I bet you he wouldn't say it replaces God.
But he treats it like a religion. He writes a letter. He modifies his behavior. He goes to the altar. He goes into the church, and he goes to the altar, and he pays his respect to the deity. If that's not a religion, then, friend, take another drag off that thing before you throw it away, because I can tell you...
All right, well, we don't need to be disrespectful to each other, do we?
No, but you're inferring that I don't know what I'm talking about. I've seen these children come to me. I see them look at me with wonder in their eyes. And for all intents and purposes, my name is Jesus. When these children...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686.
I've seen the experience where a child will wet his pants when he sees me. I've seen this.
A lot of them are afraid of Santa Claus. I've seen them scream when they see Chip and Dale. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Kelly, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Dozier?
Yes, ma'am.
You're treating these children like someone treats an overly aggressive dog. I don't understand why...
Well, I've explained it. If you don't get it, then I don't know what to tell you.
I do get it, but I don't understand why
you
treat a child this way.
I just explained it.
You're taking...
Are you from the South?
It's not a religion. I'm sorry?
Are you... I don't... What did I not say that you didn't get?
Well, explain it again, okay?
You're sucking the life out of Christmas.
Okay, what I said basically was this. The children come to me... They know that I'm the man who gets the toys. That is what a god can do, and so I therefore tell them to kneel in front of me. And
why do they have to kneel?
Because that's what you do when you're faith. What do you mean, why do they have to kneel?
Why do they have to kneel in front of you instead of sit in your lap?
Because that's how you treat a god. I'm the great provider, not their parents.
All right, let me go to Kimberly on the Phil Hendry Show. Kimberly?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Dozier, Santa Claus is not a religion.
Tell that to the children that come to the altar of Santa Claus every year.
And the whole point of Santa Claus
not a religion. But why do you treat why do you treat it like a religion? Why do you treat it like a religion?
Not create it like a religion. Why do you have children kneel before you?
You have children come to the altar of Santa. You have them wait in line. You have them alter their behavior for Santa, and then you have them pay their respects.
Sir, do you believe you are the real Santa Claus? Do you believe that?
I know, but to the children I am, and that's the same thing.
It is a fallacy. Santa Claus is not a real entity.
Then why do you have your kids believe in him?
I have a three-year-old son, and I have enough
when they were small,
it is something to perpetuate enjoyment during the Christmas season.
When your children were small, you had to believe.
I would not have my son kneel before some old loser like you,
You're a loser.
All right, Kimberly, would you shut up and let him say something, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Because I'm tap-dancing logic all around you, Kimberly, and you have absolutely no argument for me, you call me a loser. Your children believe in Santa Claus because you encourage them to. So I may be a loser, but you're a liar. And you teach your children to lie.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. He doesn't believe he's Santa Claus, but he believes that the children believes he's Santa Claus, and so therefore he needs to act like the deity that the children believe he is. He has children kneel in front of him instead of sit in his lap, and he does not allow children to meet his gaze only when he gives them permission. His name is Vernon Dozier. He's a Santa at the West Brothers Mall and Outlets in Yucaipa, California. And he's with the Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
It's a lot of fun.
All right, we have this Phil Hendry Show here. Vernon Dozier is a Santa Claus at the West Brothers Mall in Yucaipa. Let me ask you again. Do you think you're God?
No, I do not think I'm God.
Do you think that you're Santa Claus?
No, I do not think I'm Santa Claus.
But you play a Santa Claus, and the way you play Santa Claus is you have the kids kneel in front of you.
Yes, I have the kids kneel in front of me, because if they think they're going to come to Santa Claus, just sit in his lap and ask for stuff, they have to understand that if they're asking this guy to bring them things, bring them anything that they want, he must have some kind of power. And if he's got some kind of power, then let me tell you something, mister. Those kids are going to treat him that way. And
out in the mall, just so I let my audience know, you have children kneeling in front of you with their heads bowed. Is that how they ask you for toys?
First of all, let me explain. The two helpers, Sandy and Mary, bring the child before us. They put their hand on the child's head and they force him to his knees. No, I say force, they just push him to his knees.
They push the kid to his knees?
Yes. That's not push, but they just say, bow now or kneel now before His Highness, Santa Claus, and the children kneel. Their eyes are cast down, and I say, what is it that you want? And they will begin to recite the toys they want. And then I will say, have you been a good boy or a good little girl? And they'll say, yes, I have. And then I say, raise your eyes to me. And then they look up at me, and I bless them. And then I...
And what do you mean you bless them? What do you do?
I make something I saw in a Catholic church where they make a motion with their hand.
Well, I can tell you, you're talking to a guy that was raised Catholic, okay, Mr. Dozier? That's called the sign of the cross.
I'm sorry, it's the what?
It's called the sign of the cross, when a priest blesses...
All right, I don't know. I do something with my hand to make it look like I'm blessing them, and then I sprinkle what we call holy snow on them, and then they go. But
and you think this is freedom of religion for the children to come to you and bow before you?
They are bowing before what they believe to be a deity, and that is Santa Claus. Let me explain something. If these parents think they're going to stop me from doing it, they're screwing with the Constitution. It's the religious freedom of these children, and we'll go to court to protect it.
And you're willing to go and hire the attorney?
We have the attorney working pro bono.
To protect the religious freedom of kids to bow in front of Santa Claus. Well, I can tell you this, I wouldn't bring my kid to you.
Well, that's fine with me, pal, because I've got hundreds that come every weekend.
Every weekend at this mall?
That's correct.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Kathy. Kathy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Dozier.
Yes, ma'am.
You are not God.
I said I don't believe I'm God, lady. I don't know how many times I got to say it to these people.
You are behaving as if you are.
Because the children treat me as if I am.
No, but they, no.
Yes, yes, yes. To them, Santa Claus
is
a God.
There's no equation there that
Of course there is. He is a deity who has power.
But Santa Claus is not a deity.
Santa Claus can fly around the world at the speed of light. What do you call that?
Who says he can fly around the world at the speed of light?
You do. The parents who taught the children about Santa Claus.
I never taught my child that Santa Claus could fly around the world.
Well, what did you say he could do then?
I never said that he could do that.
You didn't say that there was a Santa Claus?
I never had a chimney for him to come down, so
what did that mean? Did you tell your children there was no Santa Claus?
No, I have one child, and to this day, he's 31 years old, and we always kid about, yes,
yeah.
My dear, there is a
Phil,
Santa
you can
Claus.
Listen to these people dancing around it. All of these parents have taught their children that there is a Santa Claus, and they are the ones that began this religion for their children. I didn't begin the religion. These parents taught their children.
Okay, you know what's going on here? Whoa. You know what's going on here? Every time you get around to asking these parents, did they teach their children about Santa Claus, the parents don't want to admit it.
Yeah, that's exactly
it.
Just be quiet.
It. Of course
All right.
I taught
just hold on, hold on, hold on. So, hold on, hold on, hold on.
There came a time in his life when that fantasy was no longer real.
Hold on, will you?
Sure.
So the fact is that you are culpable in teaching your child about an entity that doesn't exist.
That's exactly right.
Now, you be quiet, Mr. Dozier, okay? Now, that's the culpability of the parents. But what you're doing is taking it to the extreme that he's godlike.
What do you call a guy that can give you anything you want from the North Pole? You don't call that godlike.
No.
Oh, no.
Absolutely
no.
Not.
Kathy's the one that taught her kid about Santa Claus,
Absolutely
but now she's going
to
tell me what I can or I can't
do.
God.
Nothing whatsoever to do with
well,
God.
It does, ma'am, and
no.
The children will kneel before me.
You,
and
you
it,
sir,
well, the parents are going to stop.
Sick person, the parents, and it's a shame that you're even
every
being
picture,
this credibility.
Every picture of God is a man with white hair and a white beard.
Oh, stop.
Need I say more?
Where?
Yeah, that's exactly
where,
right.
Where
every
did you
single
come
picture.
From? What planet did
well,
you drop
if you don't know the
of?
Pictures of Santa Claus, I don't know what to tell you, but every single picture of Santa Claus looks exactly like a man with a white beard and a white thing. And
yeah, and he looks exactly like God. Okay. So you're out there at the, what is it?
Well, it's the, it's out at the West Brothers Mall in Yucaipa, and that is in Yucaipa, California.
All right, so that's the West Brothers Mall in Yucaipa, and you are the Santa Claus there. The kids have to kneel down, though, to come to see you.
Yes, if you bring your child to me, they have to kneel, avert my gaze, and bring some form of tribute. I don't care what it is.
Oh, they got to bring money.
I would appreciate it, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8, that's Santa Claus, 1-800-449-8-686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
You have obviously run out of your medication, and you need to get in the car and go get a refill on your
Paxlovid. I'm honest about what you're thinking.
I'm
honest about you going into a bathroom with this picture.
Explain this to me.
A bathroom with his picture.
How in the name of God do you go from... Will you be quiet and let me talk? I've listened to your rantings for the last 15 minutes.
My ranting? I'm not screaming. I'm talking very calmly.
No, ranting. Mm-hmm. Ranting doesn't mean screaming. It means ranting.
No, ranting means screaming.
Oh, well, whatever, okay.
You're going on and on. Well, let me get to my point.
It means screaming, and I wasn't
ranting. All right, let me get to my point.
Okay, but
So long as you admit... Are you going to let me talk?
No, I'm going to let you talk, but what is ranting?
All right, where in the name of God do you...
What is ranting?
That's not even the point here.
No, you had it wrong, and you won't be big enough to admit you were wrong.
Okay, I'm wrong, you were right. Is that okay?
See, I told you.
All right.
I told you.
Would you shut up, Bobby, and let the lady talk?
Did I tell her?
Yes, you told her, okay?
Oh, my God.
I got it right about ranting. You got it wrong.
Never mind.
Will you go ahead, please, Sue?
Okay.
But I was right about ranting.
Where is the correlation? Where is the correlation between what is going on in this country and Afghanistan? And you, where do you even tie in having sex with this man? Where did
you
come from? What kind of lunatic are you?
Women want to feel John Walker's nose.
Rough men too, lady.
That's
but
right.
But that has nothing to do with this man being a terrorist.
You know as much
wacko.
As I do that women want to have sex with a biker.
Oh, what the hell does that have to do with John Walker? Is he riding a
Flashback.
1-800-259-8686.
All right, don't forget on the 21st, of course, our first ever webcast, December the 21st, a webcast which features our show and our show prep process. That'll be on the 21st, as I've said now repeatedly. And it all starts at 1 o'clock Pacific and goes all the way to 7 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Eastern. 6 hours, including 3 hours of our show prep process, and then the actual webcast. And the way you get this is go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95. The guys from Be Here, in fact, I printed off something from Be Here, and it might be sitting in the printer there. The guys from Be Here were here, and these are the guys that are providing the technology for our webcast on the 21st. Be Here is a terrific video streaming company. They developed this technology that is going to be used by a variety of major broadcast entities in the future. This technology allows live video streaming panning 360 degrees so that when you log on, when you get your backstage pass and you're looking at our webcast, what you're looking at is a live picture, a video streaming picture, not some still picture you got to reload, but you're looking at a video as if you would be looking at a television screen, seeing live motion, and you're seeing a 360-degree view around the camera. How is that being controlled? By you. Simply by you. You are the one who controls the camera. You have the cursor. You move the camera around the room in whichever direction you want to move it. You're the director of our webcast on the 21st, and you'll see all kinds of things happen. You'll see me get angry and throw things. You'll see me break down and cry. You'll see Craig remove his shirt halfway through the broadcast and flex his tattoos. You'll see, the drinking habits of Chris Pelton, our engineer. Maybe you'll see some of the heavyweights that work here at our broadcast network walk through, say, and this is Phil Hendry, and then walk out with, heavy clients from Coca-Cola or whoever. You'll see them just kind of open the door and go, yeah, it's him, and then just close the door and walk away. So join us for our webcast on the 21st, December 21st. It starts at 1 Pacific. I think you'll have some fun with it. And that's our Christmas present to you. So it's a special bonus. This isn't a pay-per-view. It's not a one-time only. If you get the backstage pass, that's all you get. You get all of the audio archives. You get our show. You can hear it live or on demand. And you also get our 30-day archive of the show, which goes back 30 days. And 30 days worth of radio show. 30 days has September. And the Phil Hendry show, too. And you can listen to any show that happened, if you want to call it that, but was broadcast over the last 30 days. Get your backstage pass. Get it now. 1-800-449-8686. So the idea that Santa Claus is godlike struck me once because as I walked through the mall and I saw the children lined up, it was not unlike people lined up to go into Mass or some church service. And going up to the big man sitting there in the chair was not unlike going up to the big man who sits up there in the chair up there. It is kind of religious, isn't it? It is a quasi-religion. You can't get around it. It is. Children on some level worship Santa Claus. They alter their behavior for him, as Mr. Dozier just said. They're good little boys and girls, and they are making sure that they go to bed on time, and they're making sure. Yeah, there are certain commandments that Santa has. A, you can't be awake when he gets to the house. B, if you are awake, you better pretend like you're asleep. C, no matter how much noise you hear up on the roof, clanging around, the sound of boots on the shingles, the sound of reindeer neighing, or whatever the hell sound a reindeer makes, all of that, you must resist the temptation to leap out of bed and throw the curtains open and see the, and here we get to the other part of the liturgy, the flying sleigh and reindeer. Yes, things do fly in the Bible. That's the only book in the history of this planet that has ever made any claim that something was flying other than like a bird or a jet. And wanted you to believe it. I mean, to literally believe it. Until Santa Claus came along. And when Santa Claus came along, the parents, the teachers, all the adults, we wanted the kids to buy into this legend so that we endeavor to make it real every year. Now, the problem is once you hip the parents to this, once you kind of, you turn parents on or you turn the mirror around and you show them exactly what they've created, they deny responsibility. They deny culpability in creating any such thing. What they're meaning to say really is, I had no intention, but what they did was to create a religion, a quasi-religion for small children. And so the kids worship Santa Claus. Now, first of all, they alter their behavior. The second thing they do is they go and pay tribute, which is what you do in a religion. You pay tribute to God. You know, you tithe to the church. You pray. You invoke his name. And around the holiday season, Santa Claus's name is invoked much more in our house than any other name. I'm not talking about Jesus or God. Jesus' name is never invoked in our house. But, well, maybe a little bit. But my name is never invoked in our house. You know, Santa Claus is mentioned in our house more often than PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, Nintendo. So then you take the kid to where? The house of worship. And the house of worship is where Santa sits in his throne. You go up, you sit on his knee, you say, "Hi, Santa, you're a beautiful cat. And here's what I'd like. And have you been a good boy?" "Yes, I have." "All right, well then, maybe." That's a form of prayer. That's a form of prayer. List making is also a form of prayer. You'll notice the respectful lists the children make for Santa Claus. "Dear Santa, I hope you're having a wonderful, here's what I would like." You know, they're very respectful. They never say, "Hey, fatso, here's what I want, get it for me." They recognize that Santa needs for your behavior to be, it's not unlike confession. "Forgive me, Santa, for I have sinned." I thought it was really interesting. The lady denying, one thing that parents get angry with is, A, they don't want you to tell the kid there is no Santa Claus, and B, if you lay it on them that they were responsible for this in the first place, they don't dig that either. Don't ever say that Santa doesn't exist, but don't you ever dare say that I'm the one that stuck this idea in his head. Do I have a problem with any of it? No. I think it's just fantastic. I love it all. And if it's quasi-religious, it's quasi-religious. Whatever, man. It's cool. It's great. I mean, everything's religious. Everything takes on the trappings of religion. We've heard it said that, you know, professional football is a form of religion and the cathedral is the arena. I accept that. Anything that can elevate or otherwise inform your life with a higher mood or a higher sense of oneself or a higher, you know, lifestyle or a higher life existence, man, that's a religion. So it can be Jesus, Santa, or Pete Rozelle. Oh, excuse me, Paul Tagliabue. Now, how is that for a fairly profound rap right out of the gate here on the Phil Henry Show? What do you think? No good? All right, I'm moving on. Don't forget that webcast, man. You can see me running my big fat mouth on the camera. PhilHenryShow.com. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So have you seen this Bin Laden tape? The thing that's really interesting to me about this Bin Laden tape, where he talks about how it was really a gas the way the whole thing went down in New York and in Washington, is that this was in early to mid-November. Now, at this time that this tape was being made, and I believe they're in Kandahar, or they're in Kabul, I don't know where, but they're in country, in Afghanistan. As this tape was being made, the country was getting the hell pounded out of it by the United States B-52 raids and the F-16 raids. The Al-Qaeda and Taliban both were really getting nailed. And there is Bin Laden laughing his ass off about the whole thing. He just thinks the whole thing is fantastic. He's not worried at all. Not worried, sitting there having himself a chuckle with his pals. And they're talking about how cool it was. He didn't think the whole building would go down. That was a special extra bonus. And apparently he's educated in such matters. I believe he has an engineering or some kind of engineering education where he could calculate the stress from burning molten metal and how much that would affect the rest of the structure. So he had an idea as to what was going to happen to those buildings, and he believed the top floors would collapse, but not the entire building. So for him, that was cherry on top of the whipped cream on top of the seven-layer chocolate cake. So it was a great month for him. Then the crap starts hitting the fan, and the Americans arrive, and we start dropping bombs. Now it's the middle of November, and the guy is still talking like everything's beautiful. He's laughing. He's relaxed. You've never seen a guy more relaxed in your life. You want to know what I think? We're never going to get this guy. Never. I mean, I'm not saying we won't run the Al-Qaeda out of there, but we'll never find him. There's not a chance. This guy is as oily as they come. He is a real pro. And if you think he's still in Afghanistan, you're dreaming. He's probably gone. I think he's probably in San Diego. I think he's in San Diego, and I think he's registered as a student. By the way, the San Diego authorities, apparently the FBI conducted some raids, and some people were arrested, and they found that some were not in school. They were here on visas from other countries, and the Mideast community was calling it profiling. Remember the show that we did when we said, how can you say this is profiling Middle Easterners when it's actually profiling Middle Easterners who are between the ages of 18 and 33, who are men who come from terrorist countries and who've been here less than 2 years and who have student visas? That ain't Middle Easterners. That's Middle Easterners who are between the 18 and 33 years of age, who are young men. They're here less than 2 years. They got student visas and they come from terrorist countries. You see the difference? There is a difference, but I guess you need to have a college education, a visa, be here less than 2 years, 18 to 33 years of age. That's what I call a really narrow net, man. I mean, that's a narrow area that they're tossing the net. That's like, how many guys are there in this country who are between the ages of 18 and 33? Happen to be like 19 of them who flew those planes into the buildings. But otherwise, so you really got to see this tape, and I hope you do. I hope you avail yourselves of it, because be as unemotional as you can. But watch this guy as he is very relaxed. And right at that instant, middle of November, what was going on? We were nailing, if I'm not mistaken, that Mazar-e-Sharif had fallen. We were nailing hell out of Kandahar and Kabul. And he's sitting there like everything's just a beautiful thing. I think he already knew he was leaving the country. I think he already had the papers. I think he had the skirt, the wig, the high heels, and the apartment already rented. For all I know, like I said, the guy is right here in this country. We put a thing up on our website that said, would you be in favor of the United States giving Osama bin Laden asylum? And the people didn't get it. You know, they didn't get it at all. They went, no. I said, yeah, I would be. Come on over. Once he gets here, then, of course, maybe we forgot it was asylum. Maybe we thought it was, you know, couldn't differentiate between the words asylum and execution. I thought, you say you wanted to be... You have your next stretch, they forget. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil on the Phil Henry Show. Phil? What's a Lubavitch?
Chabad Lubavitch? The extreme.
Why would
Jewish
I know who
group?
That is?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were all over the country, Phil.
No, they're just down there in Boca, I guess.
All right, well, anyhow, they every holiday time around the
And what are they? You're not telling me what they are.
I'm sorry. They're just... How would I say this? They are Jewish. Does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't. No.
No? Damn it. I don't know what they actually call these individuals, but they get the hat.
Well, what do you call them? What do you call them?
Just extreme Jews.
Okay. You mean Hasidic?
Thank you. Yes.
Boca Raton, isn't that where LSU is? There's a college right around the corner from
FAU.
You, man. You might, yeah, use the library. Okay, so anyway, what did you want to... Say?
Anyhow, they've got their own deal where you can go up to a rabbi, sit on his lap by the big menorah, and tell him what you want for the holidays.
They do? Seriously?
We saw it when they had their festival over at the Meisner Park.
What, so it's a joke?
I don't know. They
You don't know much about this religion that they got the curls and the hat, and I don't know, I'm just a dumbass from Louisiana. Is that it? Yeah, okay, see you later. And I don't even think your name is Phil. I think it's Abner. Yeah, Phil, these super Jews. Look, pal, if you hate Jews, just come out and say it. It's not a big thing. What are you ashamed of? You don't like Jews. You don't get Jews. You don't understand. Everybody hates Jews. Everybody. Even the ones that say they don't do. So there's no shame in hating a Jew. It's been going on for thousands, if not hundreds of billions of trillions of years, and probably not just on this planet. And, you know, people trying to cloak their disgust with... Look, Jew hate is at an all-time high over there in the Middle East, where they think they had an original idea once. They didn't like Jews, and they thought that was an original idea. Nobody ever told them about Hitler. Nobody told them about Hitler and the preceding 2,000 years in Europe. The Arabs think that they're the first guys that invented this. They think they're the first ones that invented this whole concept of Zion and Jew hate and everything else. It's been going on for so long, it's not even funny. And then, of course, the United States is one of the great bastions of that. So, do me a favor, will you? 1-800-449-8686. If you can top that call, which I doubt any of you can, if you could possibly top that, that was brilliant. One of the things that we like to say in this show, and we have to repeat it, just leave the funny stuff to us, will you? And you can call in with your observations about life and everything. Just let us do the funny commentary, okay? Sometimes we're dead on, sometimes we're not. We're always funnier than anybody calling. You can be assured of that we will always be funnier than any caller. You sit in the rabbi's lap with the little curls, and you ask him, what do you want for Christmas? Okay, and I don't know, they're called Super Jew. They have the curls and the hat and, you know, they got this funny thing called circumcision. Oh, you mean you're not circumcised? Oh, I guess I am. Well, I'm sorry. 1-800, for all I know, that guy was Jewish that just called. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, what do you think of our old pal Irv Rubin? He's got himself in hot water now. He's going to, apparently the police say that he was planning to blow up a mosque, but he says it's a load. Here is Brian on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head that there's no way he's in that country. I think he was gone before we even started to attack. I think that would have been the smartest thing to do. I think you're right.
Yeah,
on.
He's out of there. He's not there. Yeah. He's not there. And he's, you know, he talks a great game. But he needs to lead the brothers, as he calls them. He needs to put together a new operation.
Yeah, so you're right. And yeah. It'd be, what a better place to do than outside of Afghanistan. I certainly hope that the U.S.
If I were him, I'd shave the beard. Huh? I'd shave the beard. I'd shave the hair. I'd come over to the United States, put on a cashmere sweater, and live quietly in a suburb of Portland.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, and
probably my next-door neighbor.
And start playing some pickup basketball so it'll look normal for a 6'5" guy to be even alive. And there you have it, brother.
Yeah, he's got enough connections all over the world that really doesn't make a difference where he is. So.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, in fact, I'm friends with him. Lisa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. You must really think we're stupid. I mean, any moron that doesn't know what you're trying to do with that last completely ignorant statement deserves a comment.
Which ignorant statement? I make a lot of
them. About the Jews?
Well, what did I say?
I mean, you were just like, trashing, and you're Bin Laden the second on the...
I was trashing who?
The Jews.
No, I wasn't.
You were.
I said that that Jew hatred has been common in the world for thousands of years. Like you, Lisa, you don't like Jews.
Okay, now wait a minute here. No, don't say
I'm
like
afraid. I'm afraid I have a news break, so I have to hang up on you. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.